I'm going to start this off by apologizing.
Thank you. It's about time, Rana.
Oh, no, not it's not a blanket apology, dear. Oh, please. You think I owe you a blanket apology? Is that what you think?
I actually do. Speaking of blankets, Rana, please go ahead with your complaint.
Oh, no, go ahead. Talk about your blanket. It's still December. You can still talk about your blanket.
Excuse
I know what you're going to do.
Rana.
You're going to brag about how many blankets, Pendleton blankets, you moved after.
You're the one who did the Pendleton blankets.
No, I'll you did you. Sackcloth and ashes or something.
That's
what was
right.
yours called?
No, Rana, I'm actually referring to the blanket of snow that has been dumped on our front doors.
Isn't it gorgeous?
No.
Brian, come on. Hold on a second. Let's just...
Okay,
shake
you're
off,
right.
Shake your, resettle your feathers for a second. And
I like that.
I want to see you resettle your feathers because I know you can do it. Shake them down, settle them, get your tail feathers right back where they belong.
Okay.
That felt kind of good, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I understand why birds do it now.
Yeah. Shake them all back down with the
dogs. Dogs do it too. They're like, ugh. Yeah.
There is nothing more stunning.
It is gorgeous.
Then
I will
a
say.
Fresh blanket of snow and the absolutely, I mean, otherworldly solitude and silence that comes with a fresh blanket of snow. My favorite thing is before the snowplows have even come to take a little walk down the center of the street before they plow the snow and make it a mess. Because I, of course, hate it when it becomes a mess and turns brown, et cetera, et cetera.
That must have been where you were. But go ahead.
Oh, were you looking for me?
No, but did you? I wrote red rum on your window. Did you see it?
No, I only saw murder because I read it from inside.
Oh, right. Okay. I was just trying to play a prank.
Oh, we should put on our full snowsuits and we should watch The Shining in the backyard this weekend.
How actually fun would that be?
I think that sounds pretty good.
Well, so what you do? You take a walk, Rana?
I take a walk, and then, of course, it's like walking on the beach right after the tide has gone out.
Yeah.
So you're the only footsteps. You just see you and maybe a little fox who came by or, you know, I
And that's the only sound in the world.
And there is nothing like watching snow fall in a street lamp. You've got to get into winter. If you're going to be here for the winter, you got to get into it.
Well, I think you just got me into it, and I will say this, Rana. Your home is like so stunning in every season, but I will say, especially in the fall, this
winter.
Touch, I mean.
Cozy, cozy, curly, cozy.
It's curl absolutely
right up.
Like you already sense that there's a fire in the home. There's cashmere everywhere and everyone is just relaxing, reading a book and sipping on something delicious.
And that's just how you want it to be in the winter. Of course. Yeah. But it's important to get out there because there's also nothing like that feeling of that bracing air coming into your lungs where you are somewhere between burning and freezing.
Yeah.
Such a great feeling. You really feel it. Get the blood going in the winter. Oh, I love that.
It's true.
I love that.
You know what I'd like to do? And I did. I slept with the window slightly open and then doubled up my blankets.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I like to also sleep with the window open and turn the heat way up because the other problem is that your skin can get very dry in the winter. So it almost acts like a little bit of a humidifier. I love that fresh air coming into my lungs, but I still want to be cozy toasty.
Yep. That's the New England in you, Rana. You like that brisk. Fresh air.
I do. And to be near the sea, I mean, because the snow, it melts so quickly anyway, because, you know, it's usually quite warmer near the ocean, obviously.
I wanted to go ice skating, but the ocean doesn't freeze like that.
It doesn't, dear. It doesn't. But we can take you into Public Garden or wherever they're going to have an ice. Usually at the Boston Common, they have an ice skating rink. So you can show everybody your Oksana Baiul.
But don't they have a private
garden? She lived in Connecticut, you know.
Oksana Baiul.
Remember, she's trained in Connecticut. Poor Oksana. She liked Russian even more. She liked vodka even more than the average.
Do you remember when she...
Yeah.
I think she got a DUI or something happened.
Oh, she did. She was driving a gigantic Mercedes. And she...
Yes.
It was a wreck. It was a mess.
I remember when she was on Oprah about that, about the DUI thing. She
what a
told
face.
Oprah.
What a face. Oh my God.
She's great. Yeah. I loved her. She was so, I have to tell you, that performance when she won the gold.
Oh, she was incredible.
So beautiful.
We should also watch old ice skating performances on YouTube.
That is a great idea.
Yeah, we should do that. I love that.
That is honestly
Maybe we'll do that on Patreon. Maybe we'll watch some old ice skating performances and we'll talk about them on Patreon.
That's a great idea. Just like an amateur review of what we thought.
Yeah, because we need some fun new stuff to do on Patreon in the new year. And maybe that's what we'll do. We'll say, this is what we're going to watch this year, this week. Here's a list. And, you know, it can be 4 minutes of skating videos. It can be whatever we want. But I'd love to watch that.
Also, okay, so on this Oksana
Bayou. On Oprah, you were going to say,
Okay, so Oksana Bayou went on Oprah, and Oprah was like, were you very drunk? And she was like, no, I wasn't that drunk. And Oprah was like, well, what
were you very drunk?
What did you, or she was like, what did you have to drink? And oh, this was the question. She goes, what did you have to drink that night? How many drinks did you have? And she goes, and Oksana Bayou goes, hardly anything. I think I had 6 Long Island iced teas. That's what she said. 6 Long Island, and she's about 80 pounds, 6 Long Island iced teas, hardly anything.
Well, you don't know how big the glass was.
Oh, everyone in the audience died laughing, and Oprah was like, what?
Oprah was like, I can't drink one. The calories.
Well, she's constantly burning calories. She probably still has the same metabolism from when she won the gold.
It's so true. She probably eats a bowl of pasta for breakfast.
And then just drinks like, I mean.
Oh, what happened? Can you imagine? We're gonna have to look her up. We're going to have to watch her videos.
I don't think at any age I could drink 6 Long Island iced teas. Not at any age that I, like, not at 20,
that's like
not
drinking
at 40.
6 Hurricanes in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Which it always confuses me why people look, you want to binge drink, you want to have the time of your life, you think that's what that is. That's up to you. Okay. I'm not calling you an alcoholic. I'm not calling you an anything. Do whatever you want. But if the idea is to get rip roaring and have the night of your life, why have the extra 2 drinks?
I agree.
Have 4 Long Island iced teas over the course of the night. Have the night of your life. But why have the 2 that you know are going to push you to vomitville?
I have no idea. I've never understood it.
Imagine how much money you could save if you didn't ever have those last 2 drinks.
She must have started drinking when she was like 8.
Or she never drank anything. And then when she tasted it, she knew, oh, this is for me.
I'll never forget. That was such an Olympics run.
6 Long Island iced tea.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not much.
That was not such very an much. Olympic. 6 Long Island iced tea.
Oksana was the year of Tanya and Nancy.
Yeah.
That was great. And Nancy was so disappointed that she didn't win. She was kind of
Some people like to say.
Tonya.
We've talked about this, but you know what? When we watch the video, we're doing an ice skating episode. That's it. It's decided in Patreon. We're going to have to pick the day. And we're watching that incredible 30 for 30 where they interviewed Tonya.
That is
Hiding.
A good one. Yes.
And it is unbelievable. They aired that on Christmas morning about 4 years ago, I think.
God bless us.
It was the greatest Christmas morning I ever had.
I might do a repeat. Rana, you want to know what? That's the only 30 for 30 I've ever seen. And I meant to watch more, but I loved that one so much.
It's so good. It's a good series, but that is beyond. That was beyond.
Rana, what did you want to apologize for?
I wanted to apologize for my appearance because I had a late night last night, speaking of Oksana Bayou.
What happened?
I did. So our dear friends, Casey and Danielle from Bitch Sesh.
Did you do Bitch Sesh Live? I can't say that. Bitch Sesh Live.
They invited me on Bitch Sesh Live. Joel Kim Booster was the co-host.
They had
Jessica St. He's a Real Housewives historian. He knows what's going on in that
franchise. He knows the deal.
Very invested. Yeah. Very invested in that franchise. Richard Lawson was watching, I happen to know, because he wrote to me.
I love him.
Is there anything better than getting an email from Richard Lawson saying, great job?
No.
Isn't it wonderful?
Really, because he's a critic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish I could have watched it. I forgot it was last night.
But he's a critic with great taste.
Oh, I'm going through his top 10 movies of the year right now.
Oh, he's so terrific.
His Vanity
Richard.
Fair list. Yeah.
We have to have Richard back on when they have the fake real Oscars in April or whatever the joke. We'll have to figure out what we're doing for Oscar because it's not till April this year. But And then they had Jessica St. Clair.
Hilarious.
Who looks terrific. So funny.
She's
such
so funny.
A talent. Looks terrific. It looks like she's been on a Stairmaster since quarantine started and hasn't gotten off of it.
She also is so funny because doesn't she hate that show or those shows?
She was only, all she was doing was interstitials where she was trying on the clothes that they all had from the clothing line. So they had a model of all the different clothes. So
that's
funny.
So good.
She was talking, she was going, it was like a QVC. She was going through the whole thing saying, these are surprisingly comfortable. This is cheaper than you, that even cheaper than it looks, that sort of thing. And then I came on and we talked about Salt Lake City for a minute, even though they didn't want, they asked me to watch a little bit of Salt Lake City. But what happened was I said, well, let me watch. They said, you just have to watch Ron Rana. And I said, well, I better watch the first one first so I know who these people are.
Mary.
And then I said, I better watch the second one.
Yeah.
And then I said, you know what? I better watch the third one.
Sure.
And I watched all six of them in about a minute.
I've only seen the first two, but is anything going on with Mary and the step-grandfather?
How could anything not be going on with Mary? What we learned about Mary, I was very happy to
She's
have
fascinating.
Broken some news on the because those girls don't miss a trick.
Not a minute of a trick.
And I said, let's talk about Mary's tray. You want to talk about Mary's tray? Did you notice Mary's tray?
No, what do you mean? The tray?
Mary has a tray.
Okay.
Like a white plastic breakfast tray.
Like and a Jonathan noticed, Adler kind of thing?
Well, I mean.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is also my
or
favorite.
Like a CB2 kind of thing?
Listen.
Okay.
Like a Kmart sort of thing.
Okay. 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 I just wasn't sure. Yeah.
I'm not saying Mary doesn't have a lot of money and doesn't spend it. But
I mean, she dresses like she's...
There's
like
things Mary's going to spend
high
money on and there's things Mary's not going to spend money on. And
fair
I
enough.
Think a plastic tray is probably one of them.
Okay.
But she has a plastic tray that she eats all of her food off like she's a hospital patient. So when the husband,
did you
see the episode when the husband was making smoothies in the kitchen while she was trying to have a conversation with a teenage son?
No.
So she has one of those teenage sons like Nini's son that doesn't say anything.
Yes.
But also,
probably so humiliated to be on this show.
Who could blame him? I mean, that's the thing. You think, boy, this son, are the lights on or what? And then you remember he's standing in front of a camera.
Totally.
And his mother's performing like a clown for the camera.
Yes.
And he's standing
it's humiliated,
saying,
I'm sure.
I am not an emancipated adult, so I can't refuse to do this.
Can you imagine seeing your parents in a completely different light than you've ever seen them and just being like, who are you?
So embarrassing. What are you? It's so, though his mother is a pastor, so she's always performing, but it's so embarrassing. At home is probably the only place he has anything to himself.
Yeah.
But in any event, she eats off this tray. And at some point later, she says to Chalinda, her housekeeper, who turns out's her second cousin, of course.
Okay.
Who they probably haven't paid her in 40 years for 20, the 20 years she's been there. They keep saying, you know, told her she's so lucky to be there or something.
Sure.
But they say, can you pay Chalinda and ask her to bring my tray? And what I noticed was on the tray, she's eating everything with saran wrap over it. Again, like hospital.
Like a
food.
Hospital, yeah.
Like they serve you a fruit cocktail. They serve
yes.
you a, you know.
Pudding, yeah.
Applesauce, et cetera, yeah. et cetera. And she had about 40,000 containers of protein powder on a counter. So I think she's on pretty much a liquid and fruit diet.
Oh, boy. Ugh.
Okay. Anyway, we had a little bit of a blast. And so I was up late with the Bitch Sesh girls doing that. But we talked a lot about Erica Girardi.
Excuse me. Oh, sure. With all the legal and the con job.
There was a huge expose in the LA Times that came out yesterday.
I saw someone sent me that, but I haven't
read
it yet.
You should read it. Yeah, you're going to have to read that. In any event, I've got some other breaking news.
Oh, let's do it.
The gift baskets are sold out.
S-O-L-D-O-U-T.
So that's over.
You missed the boat.
If you thought it was a mirage, if you thought it was a dream, did it happen? Didn't it happen? It happened and now it's over. So,
over.
Yeah. The tent folded back up in the middle of the desert and the oasis went away. And
that's right.
And that's what happened.
That's exactly
but
right.
But we have to thank everyone for being so supportive and for the incredible, I mean, it was an incredible
season. Yeah.
Veronica season. It was an incredible Veronica season.
Really was.
And we just want to tell people that the Ronica blend, while it disappears from shelves on December 31st, if you have fallen in love with the Ronica blend.
As I have.
You can subscribe to it. Mm. And you can pick, just like any of our other coffees, you can pick how often it comes, you know,
once a week, twice a month, every 6 weeks, whatever it is.
Yeah. You can cancel it anytime. You get $3 off a bag. And the Bixby boys have agreed for our people to continue to send that unique blend to them. But it will no longer be available in a single bag.
So you have to subscribe.
If you want it after December 31st, you have to subscribe to it. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Fair
enough. Do whatever you want, but there are people that will be desperate for this.
Yeah.
The other thing we have to tell people is our schedule.
Our schedule. Yeah.
This is, our schedule is appropriate because we have a fabulous international guest coming on in a second.
Scott.
Yeah. This is our first Scott's woman.
Yeah.
This is our last, normal episode for the year.
Yeah. Last free feed.
Next week, we have our Classic Cliffhangers Volume 3, only in 2020 edition, which I love. I'm so excited about.
Also on the free feed.
Also on the free feed. And then we're taking a break.
We're out of here. January.
We are doing this European style. We are our Feast of the Epiphany or whatever it is. Which they're so smart in Europe. They have New Year, and instead of having going back to work the next day, they have a vacation from their vacation.
So smart.
They get themselves together, and then they show up the next Monday.
That's right.
So we are taking January 1st through the 12th off of the free feed.
To get ourselves together.
And on the 12th, we are relaunching with a guest of a magnitude that even I wasn't sure was possible for the Carrot Chest.
You know how they do those icon candles? Celebrities.
Oh, that's a good idea.
He has one. We should have a Rana candle.
Those are both good ideas. So our first clue is that it's a man. That's all that we're telling you.
Oh, okay.
But it is exciting. And we're going to have a little bit. Don't keep checking our Instagram. We're going to have some really fun content in the in-between. We won't forget about you. But we are counting down to January 12th, where we have possibly the biggest guest a person could have.
That's right.
Just saying. So we're coming back with a bang. We're very excited about it. So lots of fun stuff happening in January. But just to remind the Patreons, you paid for it. You're getting it. They will continue to get their episodes. There's a very fun, exciting Christmas surprise we planned for them.
There certainly is. Not to mention, I can't remember which Patreon, but it's coming up. One of the, I think the best letter we've ever gotten in our lives.
Oh, a showstopper.
I'm going to say that might be number one.
Absolute showstopper.
That we've ever had. Yeah.
Absolute showstopper.
That's right.
So if you're looking for more Rana and Brian in your life over the holidays, join us on Patreon, patreon.com/AskRana. $5 gets you into the Carriage House. $10 gets you sauna privileges where you can see video of the show. But for our Christmas gift, we are giving everybody video. So even if you're a $5 member, everyone's getting the video of our fabulous Christmas episode. And it's a really fun surprise, I have to say. I almost wish we were giving it to everybody, but we can't do that. We have to treat our Patreon.
This is very special. But,
like the
you know,
CHIPs they are.
You want to do some self-care. $5 a month, so you can hear all this wonderful stuff. We'll get you there.
So there you go. All right. So wait a minute. We have a fabulous guest. And
yes, she's here.
Why don't we just get right into it? We can go through her incredible credits with her.
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gail Rankin. She has a Y in her name too, Brian, instead of an I.
I know. I like that.
Huh.
You know, Rana, I don't mean to be, you know, it was really sad this morning.
Oh, are we still talking?
Well, the snow came down. And yet Vina was crying. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, it makes me miss my home. And then I have to tell you, you want to talk about six Long Island iced teas? She was literally drinking from the bottle and she was having delusions of happiness and sadness and happiness and sadness.
But that's the melancholy Ukrainian disposition.
I guess so.
And as long as she was doing it with you and not with me, it's not really this. You know what? I don't really want to know about Yadvina's emotional life.
Yeah, that's fair.
I want Yadvina to show up.
She'd never show you,
do what she
you,
needs
Anna.
To do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She
That's what I want.
Yeah.
Well, I also heard that Yadvina, well, not heard. She told me that her Tesla was, that a snowplow pushed a bunch of snow onto her Tesla. So that might have also been what she was crying about, is that she couldn't get a Tesla out. At least that's what she told me.
No, she asked me to help her. I said no. So someone
good
will do
for it. You. Good for you. That's her husband's job.
Gail.
All right, dear. Gail Rankin, here we go. Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something, you can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss. Brian.
Rana.
This is has been a marriage made in heaven.
This is as if COVID never happened and you and I were traveling the world.
You made me gasp.
It's true.
I got chills just thinking about it.
We've brought the experience to us.
It is true. We need to thank our fabulous sponsor this month, Rare Tea Cellar, who have absolutely brought the most far-reaching destinations and the most delectable delicacies right to our doorstep.
That's right.
It's sort of just what we needed in December.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, we've talked so many times about going to the Middle East or going to Morocco or doing this or doing that. And here it is at our doorsteps.
All these months of fantasizing, and they have brought the rarest teas and the most gorgeous gourmet treats and ingredients right to our doorsteps. As we always say, make the home chef in your life feel like a Michelin star chef.
That's right.
And so Rare Tea Cellar, a couple of those gift sets have sold out, by the way.
People I'm not are surprised upset. Because one was a gorgeous tea one with the shortbread.
I think Sweet Treats sold out for sure.
Okay. Yeah. And then the other one, our bigger one, the 115 one, has like stuff from all over the world that you wouldn't think to buy. But then when you have it, you start using it and you're like, oh, wait, I like specialty ingredients. This is gorgeous.
And they have so many gorgeous other gift sets too. And my guess is Sweet Treats will be back at some point, but I can't speak for Tim and Kim and for Rod.
I recently got the wellness set, Rana.
Oh, how is it?
It's terrific.
Really?
And you can use offer code Brian for 20% off your first purchase.
I love it. So, yeah. And make it count. If you're going to order a bunch of stuff, do it on the first order.
Why not?
Yeah, so you get your 20% off.
That's right. You don't want to, listen, don't live your life with regrets. Not this year.
RareTeaCellar.com. RareTeaCellar.com.
That's my favorite part, Rana.
Now, wait a minute.
Rana.
Hold
this person.
There's, there's so many levels I want to get in. I want to get into her credits. I want to get into her history. I want to get into all, not for too long. That's not what the show is. Okay.
No.
The show isn't, this isn't a place where people come on and talk about themselves. It's a place where people come on and talk about other people.
I want to know what she thought of Braveheart.
I want to know what she thought of Braveheart. I didn't even know I knew. I wanted to know that until just now. I want to know what she thought of the portrayal of Mary, Queen of Scots in the first Elizabeth. What's his name?
Shekhar Kapoor.
That's the one.
Yeah.
But what I really want to know is where she is right now, because she has those incredible
She looks like she's in Park City.
She looks like she's in a Georgian townhouse in London to me.
She's got a cracker.
I got a Christmas cracker, which was an Australian accent. Maybe.
Yeah, you're going to do all your accents for us today.
Gail Rankin.
Hi.
Gail, where are you? You sit next to the most gorgeous Christmas tree I've ever. I mean, this is an absolute.
It looks like you're in the lobby of a Jackson Hole Lodge.
She's in Bridget Jones's apartment from the first film.
Yeah.
Yeah, which she could not afford.
No,
with her job.
Who could? Are you kidding?
I mean,
she didn't have a job in the beginning.
Exactly. She was jobless.
She had that cute little dormer apartment in sort of King's Cross-ish, I imagine. I'm not sure where that was exactly.
She didn't have a job.
Yeah.
That was the whole thing. She had to redo a life.
Never saw it.
Well, she had a job and then she lost a job because of the boss. She had the affair with the boss, and then who could blame her? It was Hugh Grant. Right. And then she had to reinvent herself, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. Again, this is not a Bridget Jones podcast, Brian.
It isn't. I mean, it would be really bad if it were one because I haven't read or seen. Yeah.
Gail, are you in London?
I'm in London.
Am I allowed to guess what part of London you're in?
Please.
I'm getting a Clerkenwell vibe.
close. You're getting Islington? Warm.
Wimbledon.
Not close, Brian. Not close. You're cold. You're freezing cold.
I said Islington if it's not Clerkenwell.
No Islington, no. Do you want to keep going? Fitzrovia?
What's the one that everyone calls cool, Rana? Or used to call cool?
Oh, no. Is that where you are?
The cool place?
Yeah.
It's so
dirty
Shoreditch.
There.
It's not Shoreditch. It's not Shoreditch. It's not Shoreditch. Should I just tell you?
Yeah, just tell us.
I'm in Hackney.
Hackney.
Oh, I love Hackney.
That's great.
I saw Ralph Fiennes at the Hackney Empire play Hamlet in about 1994. And he was absolutely incredible. Damien Lewis was his Laertes, I believe.
Oh my God. I was just talking to someone about this very production.
And it was incredible. Ralph Fiennes is absolutely one of my favorite actors. Though I saw him in Antony and Cleopatra at the National a couple of years ago, and it wasn't my favorite production.
Who was the Cleopatra?
Sophie Okonedo.
Oh,
they're both so incredible actors and incredible talents, but they didn't have loads of chemistry.
Fair
because
enough.
They're both such incredible. They're both sort of titans in their own.
Who would?
Right.
That's why Hamlet's perfect for Ralph Fiennes, because who would have chemistry with him? He's like a solitary thing.
I would in a second.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, Gail, I told you ever, I saw him in Schindler's List and he flipped my whole idea about the war. Just in that one scene.
Rana, but he doesn't have chemistry with anyone in that movie.
He does with M. Beth Davids, his housekeeper.
Okay, fair enough.
But in any event, well, we'll move on from that. Gail, how are you, dear? Yes. You're in London. It's great. Does it feel like Christmas in London or not really? But everyone's just trying to make it Christmas in London.
Everyone's really trying their hardest, you know, at the expense of, you know, human life. But here we are, you know.
Are you able to go out or what's the situation?
Yeah, you can go. I mean, we just went into tier three. I had to learn all these tiers because I was in New York and it was just like lockdown or no lockdown. But now there's like a tier system. It's like, oh, shit, we're going into tier three. And it's like,
well, and with the tiers, you can't. There's also something about traveling to other tiers. So if you're in tier three and your friend's in tier two, you can't go there.
Got it.
But if you're in tier two and your friend's in tier three, you can go there, right? I can't remember how. No, the other way around.
Yeah, because I didn't understand what one, two, like which is worse, you know?
Is three the worst? It seems like it would
three
be.
Three is bad.
Bad.
So does that mean no more outdoor dining, no more pubs? What's happening?
Well, the pubs are you can go and get a carry out, you know? You go and get good. I'm a shandy girl right now. I'm doing like Sprite and beer, which is a vibe. so I do a Sprite and a beer on the street. So we're doing a lot of that, you know?
Oh, you are Scottish, Gail, aren't you?
I'm very Scottish.
If you think a shandy is Sprite and beer and not lemonade and beer, that's you're really showing your roots. You're really showing your roots, Gail.
Gail, have you ever been to Edinburgh?
I have been to Edinburgh. Yeah, I am from Glasgow, so you know there's a rivalry. There's a rivalry.
But doesn't Edinburgh win? Sorry.
Brian, I'm
They don't win in soccer. They don't win in football.
I have to be honest, I've never actually been to either. So I just
they
said
don't
that to
win.
Say it.
No,
they
Glasgow
just don't
wins
win.
In football.
Exactly. Yeah.
And Glasgow wins for Jews also. There's more Jews in Glasgow than there are.
What does that mean, 10?
Toronto, they do have more Jews. No one believed me. They were like, did you know what a Jewish person was? I was like, I live in the most Jewish populated, that's the thing to say,
place. There's a big Jewish community in Glasgow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Gail, you went to Juilliard. We'll start there with your absolutely fabulous career. Does that, when you're in London, does that just mean community theater to the people over there? Does it have any, does even Juilliard's obviously the top program in the country. Does it mean anything in London?
They're like, is that Fame? Was that right. Fame school? I'm like, fuck.
No, that's LaGuardia School for the Arts, of course.
Yeah. LaGuardia.
Yeah, exactly. Across the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But the way it translates, I don't know. I think it translates. I hope it translates.
I'm sure it does.
Jobs over here. No, but it's... Yeah, it was great.
Always want to go to Juilliard?
No.
Or did you just want to go to New York?
I wanted to go to New York. And I'd gone to New York on holiday when I was like 16 with my mom and dad. And we took the like red bus tour, which sounds like it's a real story. And the Uptown one, you know, 65th Street.
Sure.
Uptown. Terrifying. On the bus. And, you know, they're like, this is where this person went. And that person, I was like, I want to go there.
Yeah.
The utter naivete and didn't really, you know, realize what the deal was. And then,
You want to know
how big was your class? Oh, sorry, Brian, dear. You had something you wanted to ask.
I was just going to say, Gail's the kind of person who works all the time, but clearly cares about the jobs she's working on because every single project is like esteemed. Like she's got a genuine critically acclaimed career.
Prestige television.
Prestige
films. Yeah.
She was in, the way, Her Smell was one of my favorite movies last year. You were absolutely phenomenal in it. I loved it.
Thank you.
And I'm so excited for Perry Mason.
It's already
out. Wait, what am I talking about? I'm so embarrassed. I've watched two of them and I should have said I loved Perry Mason.
It's okay.
Well, you only watched two, so I guess you didn't like it that much.
I did want to. What have I watched? Judge Judy and 90 Day Fiancé. That's
just
it.
Just saying. You're known to finish something if you like it. You're known to finish something if you like it. So
that's
the
true.
The jury's out. But I have to say, no, people loved Perry Mason.
Yeah.
And Gail was getting rave reviews in Perry Mason. And we won't talk too much about it because if people haven't seen it, it's really a mystery. So we want
true.
Gail's character to be able to unfold for people in the way that it does in the series. But it was such an impressive series, and I hope it was fun to be part of.
Critically acclaimed, huge blockbuster for HBO.
I love that Matthew Rhys. What a come on!
He spells his name wrong.
Well, he's Welsh, so they could relate. Do the Welsh and the Scots people have any kind of a connection, or everybody has their own ideas of, do they together hate England, but how do they feel about each other?
Yes, I think together hate England, which I think brings us together, you know?
Yeah.
But we don't talk about it, you know?
But you probably look down on them a little bit, I mean, like everyone does.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, we got really in a little trouble. We supposedly got in trouble with a Welsh MP, but then we never heard from him. And I think that friend of his was just causing trouble, is what I think. We got a letter about, I made a few comments about the Welsh and I got in trouble.
Rana got in a heap of trouble.
Beautiful country.
What happened? Curious.
Oh, who cares, to be honest.
I'll do some digging.
Yeah, do a little digging, Gail. Okay.
I think she was just a little dismissive.
Me? Of the Welsh? Impossible.
Yeah. Oh.
Impossible. Of course I was. That's exactly what happened. And they took but I think that we had a little bit of a stirrer who was trying to stir the pot. Now, Gail, is there anything coming up just before that's coming out soon that you're in? Or is Perry Mason your most recent thing?
And
of course, Glow,
most...
where you were part of that incredible
of
cast. I mean, that total, groundbreaking, fabulous female cast. What a cast. We love so many people in that associated with that show.
And it's sad, you know, we started shooting at the beginning of the year, or March, if you can cast your minds back to March. We were shooting the fourth season. So there's like some kind of, you know, a couple of episodes are like flowing around out there.
Just sitting there.
Who knows what's going to happen. Yeah. But crazy.
Fabulous Genji, who we love, and fabulous Kali, who we love. I mean, so many great people on that associated with that project.
Best.
So we should get into this, Gail. What happens here, if you don't already know, is people who are desperate, absolutely desperate in life, write into us because they've got nowhere else to turn. And they write to us and with their fabulous questions. And truthfully, they share they bear their wonderful souls to us. And then we decide what we think and we're honest about it. If they write into us, they're going to get, if you want to ask a question, you're going to get an answer on this show.
Yep, that's right.
Okay.
So even if it's Jerry Seinfeld, it doesn't matter.
I dare him to send us a letter. I dare Jerry Seinfeld. So, okay. I am going to read the first question, I suppose.
Sure, sure.
Hello, Rhonda, Brian, and possible guests. That means somebody sent this to us through our Patreon because they didn't know if we'd have a guest today. We didn't. And we do. And it's the fabulous Gail Rankin.
I love it.
First of all, please note that Brian's why is meant with only the greatest respect and deference.
Thank you.
Now, you and Brian have something in common. You're both people that most people spell their name with an I, but you're wise.
With an I. We are wise. And I like that.
I do
Enigmas.
Too. I have to say, and by the way, I think it looks nice too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Gail looks curly. Much nicer with a Y, don't you think? And Brian too. Once you've seen it with the Y, then when you see it with the I, you think, oh, isn't that a missed opportunity?
Yes.
Isn't that a shame? Well, you know the storm that's hitting the East Coast now.
Do we know? We're right Gail. In the middle of it. Yeah. But she's Gail with an I.
She's Gail with an I.
Superstorm Gail, we're right in the middle of it. Brian and I were just talking about walking into the streets and on the snowy streets of Marblehead, where we're located at the moment.
Right, yeah. You are. It's correct. Yeah.
It was absolutely stunning. It was gorgeous. But it is a mess. Someone's going to have to clean it up, which unlike in England or Scotland or wherever you are, if they get 1 inch of snow, the entire country shuts down for 3 weeks.
Fabulous. Oh, yeah. That sounds great.
I love it.
Heathrow Airport did not have a snow plow. The last time I was there, they got 2 inches of snow and Heathrow, it was over Christmas and Heathrow was closed for 7 days because they didn't have a snow plow. And Gatwick did have a snow plow because they were owned by somebody who was a little bit smarter. And that was when Gatwick pulled ahead.
I had to go fly out of there once during the winter, and they literally said, we have to take the plane to the sun because it's just too cold here. And so we had to sit in the sun in the plane for like 30 minutes. And by the way, it was like Fahrenheit 38. Like it wasn't crazy. Wow.
Yeah. They don't even have a de-icing machine for God's sakes. Yeah.
What is wrong with us?
I want to start by thanking you all for all you do to make this incredible show. I became a CHIP member a few months ago, and 2 shows a week still leaves me wanting more Rhonda and Brian. Well, it's a good situation to be in.
Definitely.
Always wanting more. Always leave them wanting more.
That's right.
Gail knows that from her time of treading the boards. Now to my query. How do you tell a coworker they smell bad? We have a new receptionist at work, Sally. She is lovely, funny, professional, hardworking, and takes initiative on tasks. On paper, she's perfect. The only problem is she stinks. At first, I thought maybe it was a one-off, but it has become clear that this is a chronic problem. The smell she gives off is like old BO mixed with a musky, not-so-fresh down there smell. Excuse me.
Feral.
Sorry to be graphic, but it's really unlike anything I've ever smelled on a person. Wait a minute. Brace yourselves.
Okay.
Parentheses. I work at a vet clinic, and it's worse than many of the animals I work with. Too mean? Maybe. Still accurate? Very much so. As I said, you've never seen a look. The two of you, they should paint the looks on your faces right now. As I said, she is a lovely person and a great coworker, but the smell is just so off-putting, it's hard to ignore.
Oof.
Is it my place to say something? Come on, what are you kidding? Or should I just try to let it go? I don't want to hurt her feelings, but I also think she deserves to know that her lack of hygiene is noticeable. Should I bring it up or just leave it alone? If I do say something, how do I gently let her know without hurting Sally's
feelings?
There's
no gently.
Feelings?
How could there be a gently?
No, so gently.
Thank you for your time. Best olfactorily assaulted. That's how they signed it.
Okay.
But who is this person? Also, you know,
is she a vet or is she a clinician?
Let's get into it. And you think it's a woman. I don't know whether this is a letter from a woman or a man. But
oh, you're right. You are right.
I think, I was being, by their tone, just the writing tone, I just kind of assumed it was a woman for some reason.
It feels female, but who knows?
Well, especially because she
lots of parentheses.
Exactly. And the down there
Is that a female?
They were familiar with the down there.
Oh, because most men have never been down there.
Maybe.
You're right. I guess I only count myself.
But now that we're talking about the down now there, I'm going to look it up. Like, you know, maybe that's a more polite, like maybe he's an older gentleman and he's just like the down there.
I'm looking it up just to see. It's a woman. It's from a woman.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but I do want to ask Gail why the parentheses tipped her off.
I am curious about that.
I don't know. I feel like I do a lot of parentheses. Sure. You know, it's just like, yeah, but... You know, remember that time when moving on.
A cul-de-sac as opposed to men probably do M dashes and women do parentheses Yeah.
Gail,
yeah.
Do you think that ultimately by working on her smell, do you have any inside knowledge as to what could be going on with this smell?
You know, a woman knows a woman.
A clinical question, yeah.
She's an expert.
A woman knows a woman. And I love that link that you made. You know, I love that, Brian, with a Y. You know, I think, unfortunately, a woman knows a woman. And that's my whole feeling about the whole situation, you know.
Would you tell somebody?
I don't think so. And maybe that makes me a bad person, but I don't
think I would.
I don't think it makes you a bad person.
I've worked with people. Yeah. I've worked with people.
Please, name names. Name names. We'll let them know right now. Yeah. Was it John Lithgow? Was it John Lithgow?
John smells great.
Lithgow does smell good.
Yeah.
It's Go Gow. It's Lithgow or Lithgow. I bet he wears aftershave. A lot of people don't, but I bet he does.
He does.
He probably does. Yeah. It's a really nice soap. He smells of a great soap.
I can see that.
I don't know what it is, but. Yeah.
What does Matthew Rhys smell like, as long as we're on it, Gail?
My sister just called me. Sorry. My sister just called me.
We're busy.
Declined. I'm just making sure we're all happening still. Sorry.
What does Matthew Rhys smell like, Gail? Do you remember?
Not good.
Good. Piney, I think. Piney.
Ooh, that's a good smell.
Musky, a little bit musky.
Yeah, musky. Yeah. He's just masculine. You know those guys that you're just like, you just smell like you, and I wouldn't know what that is. It's just like a pheromone that you're just giving off.
Like a man.
And I'm not in control of it. Not in control of it.
That's
it's
true.
A natural smell.
And neither
it's not a
are
choice.
You. It's no one's choice. No one's manipulating it.
Well, it was Mother Nature's choice. Yeah, somebody had
Mother
Nature.
You're right.
Somebody
you're
right, said it. They said we're going to give them this, we're going to give them that. You know what else we're going to give them? We're going to give them this smell.
Yeah,
and that is going to be the thing that takes them to the top.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how you could stay Jewish after saying something like that?
Well, let's put it this way. Somebody also said we're going to give Sally this smell. So now what are we going to do?
Sure.
But Rana, what would you do? Would you, because Brian
Well, Brian hasn't said what he'd do because I already know it starts with Brian giving her a bubble bath in the dog tub.
You know what?
Work.
That's not a bad idea. I would actually, I could see maybe as a Christmas gift getting her like bath gel or something or like something like that. But also I would also, and I know this is an extreme thing to think.
Yeah.
This country's gone, obviously the world is going through a horrible time right now.
Yeah.
And this woman was just hired as a receptionist. Mm. You don't know her living situation, really. Yeah. You don't know where she's staying. She could be in a shelter. You know what I mean? She could be in a car. I know that's a wild thing to say. I know. But people are in
that
boat.
I don't think it's wild. I'm just laughing because the assumption is that the smell is actually a hygiene problem. So that's making me laugh a little bit about...
You don't think it's a hygiene issue?
I don't.
What do you think it is?
I think it is a biological problem. I think she has a bacterial overgrowth of some kind. I think this is a problem.
It's inside out.
I think that she has like a vaginosis or a bacteriosis of some kind. And that she really needs to go see a gynecologist who needs to put her on an antibiotic and some kind of an ointment, et cetera, et cetera. And I have bad news for our letter writer here. That's not something you can participate in. So,
would someone know that that was going on with her body, though? It seems like they would.
You know, it's very funny. I think that this makes me think of my favorite TV show, of course, in the UK, which is
this specific thing of vaginosis.
Embarrassing bodies. Embarrassing bodies. The most, the craziest, this, if you want to understand the English, you want to, when you think, just when you think you understand them, where everybody's so polite, nobody really says what they say what they think in jokes, but everybody's dancing around and it's fabulous and wonderful. I mean, honestly, I have such an affinity for that place. It's absolutely my favorite place. But so much energy is expended in that culture of dancing around what you really want to say to someone and what you really want to show to someone. And then when it comes to your physiology or going to a beach or urinating outside a club or whatever it is, everything breaks down. All the social constructs break down. And so on this show, because people are talking about a medical condition, what they do is over and over again, women come in and they say, they bring their, like, you know, they have their doctor's van that they bring to different cities and they see people basically who aren't getting proper care and have a problem that they have that they've let go too long and they need to have it addressed. And I'm not kidding. 9 times out of 10, it is a woman that has something called, they call thrush and we call a yeast infection. Thrush. And these women sit down in this truck and spread their legs for the cameras and you see a rash you couldn't have dreamt up in a horror movie.
Wait. The viewer sees this?
100%. That is the show. They say, one of my tests, so they say, oh, tell us what's going on with you. What's the problem? Do you know, I've had this, one of my, testicles is a little, you know, slightly larger than, let's have a look. Shall we have a look?
And then it looks like they're baking bread.
There's either a bread in the oven or one elephant testicle and one human testicle.
You think
you've been walking around with this for how long? 5 to 7 years. Five, you know, that, years. You know, 5 to 7 years, that sort of thing.
And Gail, have you finished all your Christmas shopping? Because you could get a box set of embarrassing bodies for one of your parents.
Well, I'm about to get my, I don't know if you guys have heard about the show, Rana. Have you heard about Naked Attraction?
Of course. It's right in the same cat. Naked Attraction, I only watch when I'm in the tub. I watch it on AquaVision at 2:00 in the morning at the Ham Yad Hotel.
Okay.
I mean,
tell Brian what Naked Attraction is.
Is it like dating naked?
Oh no, it's unbelievable.
I don't want to interrupt you, Rana, but I couldn't help but make a connection between these two shows because
they're
Naked
absolutely
Attraction is
no question they're from the same production company.
Yeah. I mean, I'm every. You assume that we're such a prude nation, you know, and this TV show is there's 8 people naked in a different colored perspex boxes.
Okay.
Like silos. One clothed,
there's one clothed human being and they have to watch and judge the naked body as the perspex box lifts. And so you see, like, you know, you don't see my head and then you just start seeing, it starts from the feet up.
And they eliminate people. They say, so you said, so here's everybody's feet. And then here's everybody's testicles. And then here's everybody's chest. And you get to eliminate people round by round. And then in the end, you have to choose one. And then that person comes out and you go around the corner and you have a drink with them.
But
and
whose works penis out, is attractive isolated? Do you know what I mean?
And then they sometimes make them like shake
it around, shake their willies.
Shake it around.
Yeah,
willies. Yeah. And they always say, and that's a nice willy. Would you stick that willy in your vagina?
Like, it's like, oh my fucking
God.
And it's so gross. And the contestants are always like, I quite like that tattoo. You know, it's always the cheapest tattoos you've ever seen. And
right.
But we love First Dates on this show. We watch First Dates UK love. All the time, which we love.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And First Dates Hotel, which always makes me cry, that show, always.
So good.
But in any event, I think Sally has an issue. And I don't think you can say anything. She's either aware of it. To answer your question, Brian, people just let things go because they're embarrassed or they think they're going to go away or they think this is just how it is. She may think, I'm a person that smells. And I think a lot of women, you talk about a gut imbalance. The female anatomy is a very similar environment, which is there's all different flora and fauna and bacteria and everything else. And it's a very delicate environment. And it's a sturdy environment. But if there's an imbalance or an overgrowth, it can, and it's left too long, it really can take months and months to try and put that back together. And so I think a lot, I also think it has a lot to do with medicine and the way that people are raised thinking about their bodies. And I think a lot of women don't think about this in the way that in the general population, people have IBS, but they don't make a connection between that and what they put in their stomach or how they treat their stomach or whether they took so many antibiotics that there's no more of this left.
Right.
We just don't think that way. It's an absolute shame because it's such an important look, your whole body. A microbiome and an ecosystem, and one thing connects to another. But a lot of people don't think of medicine that way. They just think of it as this has a cut, this needs a band-aid, this is a thing that, you know, everything is compartmentalized. She has an issue. She's embarrassed about it. She probably knows about it. She could be immune to the smell at this point. She needs to see someone. You are not the person to tell her that. What you can do is you can buy her a candle for her desk, and you can buy a candle for your desk. And that's about what you can do in this situation.
Or if they don't allow fire, those like, you know, room
get
thing,
an
the sticks.
Oh, the sticks.
Yes.
But
you could do that. That's not
that
a bad idea.
The fact that this person doesn't mind the smell of lizards and rabbits and dogs and everything else, and they mind this smell. The other thing I personally would do is I'd put a little Vicks VapoRub under my nostrils at work. I'm not kidding. I would.
That's
they have
good.
A terrific one in London, in England. What's it called? The nose opener. It's
and you like you huff it.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah. What is it called? It's called nose something. I'll think of it. I
nose
love it.
Candy.
I don't think, but you can get. Why was I going to say poppers? That's wrong.
she just do poppers at the vets. Yeah,
get them anyway.
Poppers, right?
Do poppers.
No, I love those inhalers too much.
Yeah. Or you can put a little lavender oil on your wrists in the morning and, you know, but there really isn't much you can do here. And
it's a tough one.
Yeah. I mean,
All right. Okay. Best of luck.
Yeah.
Olfactorily assaulted.
Oh, I can't wait for Brian to see embarrassing bodies.
Oh, I can't wait either.
It's unbelievable. These people, they act so shy. The other thing they do is give them free breast reductions on the NHS all the time.
What?
That's great.
They come in and they say...
Because they have back problems.
Yeah.
But,
yes.
I think a breast reduction is a medical issue.
It can be, yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly. But I mean, these people just, you know, shy, and then they spread their legs and it's, you know, the worst elephantitis you've ever seen. Okay.
Good God.
Yeah.
Okay. Dear Bonna, Brian, and wonderful guest, that's you, Gail. I am in the middle of what is probably the most stressful time I've ever had in my life. I know that's true for a lot of us now because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
I feel like this year has thrown every possible challenge at me. I had my first baby in August after going through most of my second trimester at the height of the pandemic in New York and having a relatively quiet third trimester thanks to the lull we had this summer.
Okay.
Still, my pregnancy and maternity leave were spent mostly in isolation because of the risks of COVID. So far, my son has only met my parents, who live locally, and two close friends, outside only, 6 feet apart. By the way, I would like anyone who complains about wearing a mask to the store to try wearing one during labor and an emergency C-section, and then let me know how hard it is to wear one for 30 minutes while buying groceries. That's for you, Rana.
Well, everyone knows I don't go buy groceries, so that's fine.
That's true.
But we're getting a little tingle of your rage, dear. We understand you've had a hard year.
Definitely.
It's coming to the surface, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In addition to the... In addition to the stress of having a newborn during a pandemic, my mother was recently diagnosed with cancer. With cancer. To make things even more complicated, she's the caregiver for my father, who has Parkinson's. Mentally, he's fine, but he has physical limitations and can't drive or cook, and he moves very slowly. He wouldn't be able to drive my mom to appointments or to move quickly if she needs help. COVID also limits what in-home caregiving options are safe for them. I'm an only child, so I always knew. By the way, I do feel like I'm an only child. That comes through.
Yeah.
I'm an only child, so I always knew that, and that's not a critique, that's just an observation.
Sure.
So I always knew that the caregiving would fall to me once my parents needed me. I didn't expect that it would happen with this kind of timing, however. I'm slated to return to work in a month, and I'm hoping I can work remotely to minimize exposure and keep everyone healthy. My husband has, this is the first we're hearing about the husband. My husband has been working at home.
Another clue.
Yeah. My husband has been working at home full time and does everything he can to help me, but it's hard when he still has to be present for his job. I'm torn with what to do. We live about 45 minutes away from my parents and had planned to move closer to them last spring, but the pandemic changed our plans. Now I'm wondering, do we break our lease early and move closer so that caregiving is easier? Do we stick it out until our lease is up in June to avoid complications with money and credit? How do I balance caring for a newborn, caring for my parents, and working? Giving up my job completely is not an option, in part because of finances and in part because I've worked very hard to get where I am in my career, and my field is not one that has a lot of openings available. So if I were to leave and come back, it would be very hard to get a comparable job and salary. What can I do to make sure I don't lose my mind balancing all of this? Thanks for your help, A.
Ooh.
I'll say this.
Is it called Happy Nose, Gail? Is it called Happy Nose?
Happy Nose?
Is that what it's called? So. Yeah. Oh.
Sorry, dear. All right, go on.
That sounds delicious.
I love how interested you were in the.
I know, right? She's like, my life is falling apart.
That's a lot. Happy Nose. That's exactly what it's called. Okay, go on, dear.
This isn't really an answer except to one specific question.
Yeah.
Everyone can get out of their lease right now.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Definitely.
So I think you could put that part aside. Yes. I don't really have another answer yet, but that part specifically, you can get out of your lease and you won't be penalized for it. So you can do that. If you want to do that, occasionally I'm catching a glimpse of you don't really want to do any of this stuff, which is fine. Everyone has that feeling when you're overwhelmed that you don't want to do a minute of it. But you started talking about moving close to your parents and then why you couldn't break your lease. And it's sort of like, well, no, you can break your lease. And I bet you might even know that without being penalized. And you can move closer to your parents.
I'm not saying the world hasn't handed you a shit sandwich. What's this penalty? They're going to keep your security deposit?
And they won't.
Which I wouldn't be happy about, but it's not something any of us can count on anyway.
Yeah, but it's not even happening
right now.
When you
give your security deposit, you should assume your landlord is going to come up with five different tricks to keep it. That's just what I want to say about that.
There's not a more flexible time to get out of a lease than right now. So you can move closer to your parents. That is something you can do. And you won't have to worry about
it. Moving closer to her parents means taking on more of the responsibility.
I don't think she wants to move closer to her parents.
Yeah.
And I think she's not saying it, but she doesn't want to. And that's fine.
It's like that thing, you know you have to do it, and you just want to put it off for as long as you can. So this is also, look, your mother has cancer, okay? I know I get a lot of flack around here occasionally for acting like, who cares about money? I don't actually think that's justified or fair, because I always think about the position that our people are in that write to us. But
of course,
I don't know how aggressively this is moving. Maybe she doesn't know how aggressively it's moving. And this is the other thing with cancer. It's always a moving target. So even if it's going well right now, sometimes somebody's on a drug. It seems like the thing with cancer drugs are they work until they don't work. And sometimes they work for long enough to put you in remission. Sometimes they put you on the next one and that one works. And sometimes none of them work for people. And it is absolutely devastating. And it is the absolute cross section between where we'd like to believe we are as a world in terms of science and technology and progress. And the idea, and then the other part of that being that sometimes Mother Nature comes from you and your time is up, and depending on all these different factors, there's nothing you can do. That is not, I don't know what your mother's situation is. I don't know where she is. I'm just saying this can break in a lot of ways. And the last thing you're going to care about when that happens is that you didn't get your security deposit back on your apartment when you moved, or that you spent a little too much on the move or whatever it is. But this is one of those situations where if you're able to, money is just money.
And not to mention, depending on their insurance, if they're on Medicare, I mean, there are things available to them that would cost almost nothing, if depending on what their insurance is
but
like.
I'm really talking about this obstacle that our letter writer is placing in front of herself, as you so keenly pointed out, Brian, which is that she's talking about all these obstacles to moving. She was dying to move closer to her parents until her mother got cancer. Mm. I mean, that's the timeline.
And
we're
saying
it.
And it doesn't have to be her responsibility. That's what, like, you can literally get help through your insurance, depending on what kind you have, or hire a neighbor once or twice a week, and your parents could hopefully cover it. If not, maybe you could pitch in for it.
Yeah.
But there are solutions that don't have to involve you yet.
Well,
and by the way, just tell your parents.
That gets tricky.
Why?
Because depending on if her mother's doing pretty well with the chemo, then probably insurance isn't going to pay for a helper. It's one of these strange things where you sort of have to reach a threshold. And then once you reach the threshold, that kind of all these insurances are different. But look, this is the reality of a lot of families, which is that they take care of each other's children, or they take care of each other's elderly, and they're the only person that can do it. And that might be the situation that you're in. But the bad news for you, for all of us, but for you, is you have two chronically ill people in your life, and this isn't going to go on forever. You know, either your mother's going to get better, which would be wonderful, or she isn't. And your father, the same thing. But this situation is a somewhat temporary situation, meaning this is unfolding. This is how it's going to be for maybe a year or 2 years or something like that. But this isn't the next 10 years of your life. This is a crisis that your family is going through.
We're all working from home right now. Like, I don't think it hurts to just move back there then.
You're very lucky that you can work from home. The other piece of this to address is that there is no question that this is the most stressful at any time. This is the most stressful, upsetting. You're an only child. These people are your entire world. You probably finally feel like you just started your own family and that you sort of got out from under that family unit. Not that you don't love your parents, but that you're striking out on your own. And, you know, when you have an only child, the whole family is triangulated on the child.
And probably you wanted to move out near them so that they could help you with the baby.
Correct.
Right.
She wanted to move out there, have a little extra help, and also have that lovely idea of we bring the baby over and it's da da da. And so part of what we're going through right here is not just mourning, pre-mourning whatever's going on with the parents. It's mourning the loss of what you thought this time in your life was going to be. You thought this was going to be a wonderful honeymoon period.
Gail, what do you think?
No, it's devastating, and it's hard to control your own. You know, the first thing that popped into my head was like, you know, if you can afford it, if your insurance again can afford it, like, do you have a therapist? Yeah. Do you have a person to be talking about this stuff with, you know?
Definitely.
Because it did feel more complex than the sum of its parts, you know? Like, you know, we were talking about the rent and it's not about the job. It's not about the...
Yeah.
Obviously, money has a lot to do with it, and insurance in America has a lot to do with it. But it does feel like more of a psychological and very much a logistical crisis and a psychological crisis as well. So I was like, oh, she might maybe looking into that.
No
question.
Also,
what is your husband doing during this to help you with this, and what has he offered to do to help you through this? It's curious she mentioned him halfway through, and I know she says he's supportive, but surely he can handle something in this.
It's a lot of burden.
And he may very well be trying and be perfect and be offering, can I do this? Can I do that? Yes, let's move to your parents. Who cares about the security deposit? Da 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 da. But this is also the problem of an only child, which is that she is used to being the only person in the world. And so even though she has this husband and this family unit, I'm getting the vibe off of this letter that she's not letting him in or not telling him what she needs, and that she is choosing, and who could blame her, but choosing to feel overwhelmed and angry about this. And all I can say about that is that you're totally entitled to those feelings, but they're not going to help you solve any of these problems, and they're not going to make this situation any better, and they're not going to help you through it in any way. And so you're allowed to feel those feelings whenever they come up, but you also have to find a way. And I think a therapist is
you don't have a therapist, that's great advice.
You want that therapist now, because this therapist
you need
is
an
going
advocate.
To
yeah.
take yeah. you through this process. This is a big moment. It's absolutely disappointing that this baby has arrived at the same, that life and death have arrived on your doorstep at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, truly, it breaks my heart to even think about it. But this is the hand you dealt. And you want to handle this with dignity and compassion and to the best of your ability. And this is, look, no one would envy this situation. But you have to try and find joy in the moments with this baby. And you also, there's something beautiful about when people are sick. There is something so healing and wonderful about a baby, really. And I think your mother, there's so much joy to be had for bringing the baby over. And by the way, you need to be careful with that. Bring the baby over for a little bit of time. And then, because your mother will be exhausted and she won't tell you that she's exhausted, but you don't want to exhaust her. So a little like half hour visit of some joy and then get the baby out. Because babies are draining and exhausting, but adorable. But you need to reframe this. And you also, I hate to say it, you need to face this, but I don't think you should face it alone. You need a therapist.
Or all at once.
Like
tomorrow, make a call to your landlord. You know what I mean? That's all you got to do that day.
Totally. Or say to your husband, I need you to deal with the move. We need to move. I need you to call the landlord. I need you to figure out where we're going to. And I need that to happen. And I just need you to do that.
Gail, do you have open communication with your lovers?
Yeah, I really try to, you know.
I was just asking. It's good to.
No, we need to. You have to. And it's so interesting. You guys called it. You were like, oh, only mentioning the husband now. You know, like, you know, it does feel like she's taking on a lot on her own. Yeah. And I'm tempted to do.
Are you an only child?
For doing that. No, I have an older sister.
Okay.
But like, I'm the younger sibling that kind of decided that they were their older sibling, you know, and took on all the responsibility, which was, I don't know what that's about, but.
Plus, I mean, is anyone else in your family an artist?
No one.
Yeah. So, no one. I mean, in a certain way, you're also with people who are unfamiliar with what you do or what you wanted a little bit and struck out, you know, to go to school in America and all that stuff. Like, I can see that
so
you would feel.
I can relate to A, you know, in terms of just the overwhelm is almost comfortable, which is not fair. You know,
it's also just not working for, it's not going to work for her in this moment.
No,
and I think all three of us can relate to that. I think we're doers. I think we're people who in our lives, people come to us and say, what do I do? And you say this, this, and this. Or
and
when
also
you identify
it's easier
a problem,
to say,
you jump in.
You think, it just would be easier for me to do it myself than to have to like explain what needs to be done. You know, I am like that a lot too. And it's a fault. Yeah.
But I think you really tapped into something, Brian, where you noticed the procrastination or the avoidance that's happening here around this move, which is that she knows the minute she gets there, life changes. So at the moment it's her and the husband and the baby in this and her stress in this bubble. But the minute she gets there, and I don't think she needs to give off up her career or anything else, but if ever there was a time to say, I need a little more time off, my mother was just diagnosed with cancer. I mean, that may not be this moment, that may be later down the road, but that's not going to stall your career. That's something that people have to give you if you ask for it. So I hope we sounded compassionate enough in this response, because I think we couldn't even imagine, you know, nobody wants to be in the situation that we're in. We have nothing but the deepest compassion for you, but the operating system is no longer functioning. So we need to address the operating system.
This might be a throwing money at it situation, which I don't, whatever.
If you can,
if
great.
You could also get help with the baby once, twice, three times a
Absolutely.
Week.
Absolutely.
Just so you have, you don't have to, I think we've given this advice to another listener who, even if it's just 2 hours a day to where you don't have to think about the baby.
Well, put the
you
baby
just know
in
the
daycare,
baby's taken care of.
Because there are daycares that are functioning through the pandemic. So, I mean, you know, with very small children and the right protocols, I mean, it's just time to get into solution mode. And I have a feeling this person is in the mode right now where everything is no, no, no.
Yeah.
Because they feel so overwhelmed, they can't make a decision. So maybe all day long, the husband is saying, what about this? What about this? What about if I took the baby to my mother's for a week? What if I, you know, no, no, let me think about it. Let me think, you know, that's where you have to get unstuck here and really roll up your sleeves, because this is going to be the shittiest ride of your life. But it will be so important to you how you handled yourself on the way, on the other side of this. So let us know what's happening. Keep us posted.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to speed it up here on this next one. Dear Ron and Brian and guest, that's you, Gail. First, please let me express my sincerest thank you to you both for all of your amazing work. I know many fans have said this, but listening to you twice a week, of course, I'm a Carriage House member, has been such a lifeline during the hellscape that was America in 2020. Well, we have an international guest, so let's acknowledge their hellscape as well.
But we also had an election.
And we Brexit.
And it went the right way.
That's right. And you all are Brexiting right now.
Yeah. Oh, well, they are and they aren't.
Did they do it yet?
No, they're in the same exact place they've always been, which is it's going to be a no deal Brexit, of course.
Wasn't something supposed to happen this week, though?
December 31st.
Oh, December
31st. yeah. They're having another dinner.
Great. Yeah. Okay, good.
Angela Merkel's right being forced to watch Boris Johnson eat again. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're wondering why they can't come to an agreement, it's because Boris Johnson's, you know, sleeve is in his soup.
Sure.
Well, he spent the first 20 years of his career insulting everyone in Brussels, and now he needs something from them. So it's a very peculiar situation that they're in.
But
in any event, as a journalist lambasting the European Union for his own personal gain, and here we
are. Fair enough.
I am a bisexual woman who has been with my boyfriend for 5 years. Our relationship is wonderful, and I am able to be honest and vulnerable with him in ways I never thought possible. My best friend, who I've known since I was a child, is in the process of divorcing her wife and will likely gain sole custody of her 3-year-old son.
Wow.
Last week, she told me that she's in love with me. She said she wants to be with me, have me become a step parent to her kid, and hopefully have a baby so he could have a sibling. My blood is boiling.
Mine
right
is
now.
Too.
I just want everyone to know that.
Boiling? Ooh.
She is masculine of center and would never want to be pregnant, but wants her son to have a sibling. I despise this person. I just want that to be said before I go any
not,
further.
Not the writer, though.
The friend.
Completely. I'm with you.
Best friend.
The person who only cares about what they want in this world and doesn't mind telling anybody. And I'm sorry if she's a lovely, wonderful best friend, but I bet there's a vestige here of whatever that old friend. I want you to go look back at your friendship when you were 8 and tell me if she ever gave you half the candy bar before she gave it to herself.
But does she know that, though? Because she started by saying, like, I'm in a really happy relationship. Like, look at this setup, you know? Anyway, sorry.
No, what do you mean by that? Keep talking. What do you mean?
Well, you know, the setup is I'm really happy. I'm stable. I'm in a good place. She's at the extremity of the setup.
Yes. Okay.
Makes me think that, like, our friend, our writer knows what's up. But I think we need to know more.
Her best friend is a bully. Okay. That's what's going on here, in my opinion. But we're going to read the rest of this and we're going to find out. Just meaning sometimes you have these friends and she's been my friend forever and she's so fun and she's charismatic and I love her and da 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 da. And then you really take a step back and you think, huh, did she ever do anything for me if I didn't ask her or before
Truly, what kind of best friend just goes hard, all in on like, I want to break up your thing.
My life blew up, so I'm going to blow up yours to put my life back together the way I need it to be.
Not to mention, it's a little too soon for a rebound of that caliber, of that intensity. You know what I mean?
Not, like, this not is... when you're a total narcissist who knows exactly what they want and makes people do it.
I guess.
While I love her deeply, I am not in love with her, nor am I sexually attracted to her. Okay. I suggested that perhaps this is just a reaction to the divorce, Brian, there you go, and becoming a single parent. But she said no. She's definitely in love with me and doesn't want to be with anybody else. I feel deep sympathy for her, but I also feel hurt and angry. By asking me to be with her, she was asking me to make several huge sacrifices, not the least of which would be leaving my boyfriend, which I do not, parentheses, Gail, which I do not want to do. And becoming a parent, parentheses, which I never want to do. Okay? She does not want to be a parent.
Never want to.
She also actively...
Is she afraid to tell the friend no to this offer?
Correct.
Bully. Rana called it. Rana called it.
She also participates in a major religion, which after being raised by a pastor, I am fundamentally opposed to. My question is...
She sounds
is,
like pure joy. This person.
My question is, how do we move forward? I don't want to lose this friendship, but I don't want to be best friends with someone who is in love with me. I told her she needed to start trying to move on, and she told me she didn't want to. I don't want to abandon her as she's going through a divorce and the pandemic with a small child and some career uncertainty, but I don't want to lead her on by staying too close to her. I'm so angry.
I am
now.
Too, Rana. I'm pissed. Also, the idea that this woman.
I want to rip the ornaments off Gail's tree right now. That's how I want to ransack just Gail's gorgeous apartment right now. That's how I feel.
Yeah, rip those
all
crackers.
The Christmas crackers.
Honestly, and I'll tell you
Christmas
this too.
Christmas is canceled.
You know, I wasn't going to say this before, but you know this person bullied her soon to be ex-wife for sole custody. Do you know what I mean? You know she
now she wants someone else to raise the child and to have a pregnancy for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want a baby?
Oh my God, this person.
Am I wrong to be mad at her for asking me to be with her? Can I tell her that now? Should I wait until she has moved on, or do I never tell her? Please help. Kiss, kiss, anonymous.
Gail, what would you do? I want to know.
Oh, hold on. Well, you keep talking. The UPS guy's looking for me. Hold on. Oh, okay. Keep talking.
Gail, what would you do?
I want to be the person who's like, look, you're fucking up my life. Like, you know, I want to be the person who's like, I don't care where you're at.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I have sympathy for you. I love you. I'm not in love with you. But you can't do this to me or anyone else anymore. Like, you have to sort your shit out. Where that's not that person's responsibility necessarily to tell that, you know, to tell their friend that they have to get their shit together. But
yeah.
Have you ever had like a friend, it doesn't have to be now or anything, but have you ever had a friend who was sort of a bully who would bully you into things, or have you never had that dynamic?
Luckily, I've never had that dynamic, but
yeah, it's healthy.
It's a real thing. But like, unfortunately, like whatever your sexuality is, but I do find that, you know, it can be women toward women. I've certainly heard multiple, I don't want to stereotype, but like I've heard
like
many
the mean
women,
girl thing or something.
Yeah. She's my friend. And
Queen
me,
Bee.
You know, like, why is that like,
yeah,
this person
hit it, Rana. Let's go in.
Does not care in the slightest about what you want out of your life. So even if you were considering being in a relationship with her, which is going to make my blood boil even crazier if that were even a possibility, but you're not, it sounds like you know what you want in a healthy way, et cetera, et cetera. This person would be the worst possible partner. This person does not care about you or your goals or your interests or what you want in life. And
this person
minute,
checks the mileage on your car if you go too far.
Totally.
Yeah.
And the minute she tried to blow up your relationship, was the moment where this sentence became totally invalidated. I don't want to abandon her as she's going through a divorce in the pandemic with a small child and some career uncertainty, but I don't want to lead her on by staying too close to her. You're not abandoning her.
This is none of your fault.
She took a risk. And everybody takes a risk when they, quote unquote, express their feelings to other people in a romantic way. And sometimes it breaks your way and sometimes it doesn't. And when it doesn't, you deal with the fallout and the consequences. And that is just called life.
But this is what you do with a fucking friend if you're in love with them.
She's not your friend.
No, because what you would say is, I have something to get off my chest that I know is going to sound awful. And I know how happy you are, but I just feel like I would be doing myself a disservice if I didn't tell you that I really do have feelings for you on a deeper level. And I just wanted to say that, and either you throw that out or whatever, we can move on. But I just, and honestly, you probably shouldn't even do that if you know your friend's in a happy relationship.
When did she get divorced?
This is happening now, it seems. It seems like we're right in the middle of this.
Right. So like, wait,
your emotions are all over the place during something like that.
I'm in a happy, great relationship. Life is full of romantic injustices. We've all pined for this one or been in love with another or had a little flirtation with someone that we shouldn't. And circumstance has just dictated that it was impossible because that person either wasn't interested or was already happy with someone else. They're unhappy. It's another story. But, and that is just life and timing and everything else. But this woman,
wants to set up her life before her old one ends. Like she just wants to, like, it's as if you're like not quitting a job until you have a new one.
She wants to move into your uterus. Never mind just, I mean, she wants you to be an absolute concubine, indentured servant, nanny, mother. She doesn't want to have, you want another baby? You carry it. She's a woman.
I'm going to say,
I don't care if she's masculine or not masculine.
Be friends with this person. Do not even pursue a friendship with this asshole.
This is over.
Over.
Yeah.
I wouldn't spend another minute with this crazy.
And I wouldn't make a big deal of having it over. I actually would look for, this is one of those rare moments in life where I would look forward to this conversation because it's so clear.
Have your ducks in a row.
It is clear. Yeah. She has no, and I, like I say, like, I think she knows it. Like she's asking you guys, like she's saying, am I crazy to be mad? Like the answer is no.
You know what else, Gail? You know what else I'm getting a vibe on him? Just realizing my shtetl clairvoyance is coming through.
Oh, here we go.
She's jealous.
Who's jealous?
Oh, wow. The friend.
The gay, the getting divorced friend is jealous of the stability that you have found in this relationship with him. And she's furious that it's a man. And she's jealous and she wants, her life exploded and she wants to explode your life. And she doesn't want, you seem to have settled into a situation where you get to be bisexual, but you get to be with a partner that you love who understands you and what you're about, who also doesn't want kids, and that you guys have a great thing going. And her thing exploded and she's an alpha and you're a beta and you don't deserve to have what she doesn't have. And so she is going to take that away and she's going to put it right. She's going to take what she needs and put your resources right in her house.
But your instincts are right on, and just truly, like, respect yourself and, you know, be, you deserve the happiness you have.
Yeah. But I don't think you're angry when you talk to her unless she pushes you even further during that conversation.
I would end this though.
Yeah. I mean, I would say to her, look, I've thought a lot about what you said. I am flattered that you feel that. I don't even think you need to say that, to be honest. I think, and you just say, look, I don't think we feel the same way. We've had a wonderful friendship. I love you as a friend. This is a pretty destabilizing thing that you said to me. So it's going to take me some time to process that. And I'm probably not going to be able to be there for you in the way that I normally would. And I hope you'll respect that. Mm-hmm. But I'm very happy with Barry or whatever the boyfriend's name is. And I don't feel like changing that. I'm not changing that situation. So good luck to you, basically. But no. Don't mess with my stuff.
No.
Barry's your family right now.
Yeah.
She's coming for you and your family right now. Keep that in mind.
And she doesn't care about any.
No. She wants to explode your life.
Yeah.
This is a threat. Yeah.
And not only did she bring it up once, she then said, well, I'm not going to stop.
She's also, but yeah, I don't care. No, it's how I feel. I don't care.
That's scary.
Narcissistic bully. Time to move on. Okay.
Terrifying.
So, Gail, this is the point in our program. Brian will explain.
That's right. Where you have to sing. Just kidding. Where
oh, I wish. I bet Gail has a beautiful voice.
I'm sure she does. We go through, we give away something special to one of the people who wrote in.
Yeah.
So I forget how we're doing it now, Rana. We're deciding who the person is first.
For the month of December, we did our big Veronica episode at the beginning of the month where we do our list of gifts and what we think people should be giving. And so what we do now for this month is we decide who wins, and it's only based on a feeling. And then Brian picks from the list, and sometimes I veto it, but not often. I don't veto. I sometimes make a suggestion to go with it.
Right.
Brian picks what they're getting off our Ronica list.
Sure.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So are we giving it to, and I'll go in reverse order, the bisexual woman who's in a great relationship whose friend wants to just destroy it? Are we giving it to my mother was just diagnosed with cancer and I have a newborn? Or are we giving this to the person who thinks their coworker smells?
Well, she knows her coworker smells.
The person who knows her coworker smells. Does she deserve a gift more than the others? I guess that's what we have to weigh here.
Weirdly, my instinct was the first one. And by the first one, I mean Sally, not Sally.
Well, then we're sending her a candle, obviously. What do we get sent? What else is on the list, Brian, that we could send her?
For something smell?
Is she really winning? Is the smelly coworker really winning?
Maybe not.
I'm not saying no. I'm not saying no. Like, I just want to. Brian,
let's
what's
see.
Your instinct? Gail votes for the stinky coworker. What do you vote for, Brian?
I'll vote for the woman with the parents.
Yeah. Okay.
What about you, Ronner?
It's tricky. They all. They all do and don't deserve something this week.
No,
they all do. They all, I'm just kidding. They all deserve, these are all dire situations. But I think the gift to the last one truly was our advice, which is get out there, stake your claim, and enjoy one of the few moments in your life where you get to say exactly what you think and also hold the higher ground. And if she pushes you, push back a little bit. I just want to say that. Don't be afraid to say, that's enough. We've had this conversation 3 times and I've said it. So that's where I am on this, and it'll feel great. Let us know what happens. Yeah. Okay. It's true. Number two really does need to. She's going through absolutely what has to be the hottest time in her life.
Okay.
So
what's something we can give her, Brian, that's either cozy or smells great or something that helps her take 5, because she's a cartoon whose, thermometer is about to burst.
Well, I do think a candle still applies.
Okay.
I also think we could get her a pair of the slippers from MoMA or something.
Oh, that's a nice idea.
Or top drawer.
Uh-huh.
I also think we could give her an Anne Sons.
Oh, a little chocolate box. A beautiful little chocolate box.
Oh, chocolate.
Gail, what do you think?
What do you think?
Those 3 options, what would you want to get if your whole life was circling a drain? And it was
slippers.
Your job. And it was your job to plunge it.
Slippers. Great.
Yeah.
Slippers.
You need that ground. You need that comfy ground.
It's true. And the other thing is you step into those slippers and you take a breath and you say, all right, from the feet up, I have to face this.
Sure, but your feet don't have to worry about a thing.
No, mm-mm. I love that. And they'll be nice in the new home because you're moving home, dear. So enjoy your new house shoes in your new house and take a picture of them. and move home sooner rather than later. Let's not prolong this conversation. It's happening. The move is happening. So let's get the wheels in motion. Okay.
Please watch Perry Mason. I will too.
Please watch Perry Mason.
Brian, please watch Perry Mason.
I'm going to. I watched the first two and I loved it, but there's just something about good television that I can't finish.
Well, let me tell you something about Perry Mason. I'll just say it.
Yeah.
The first two were a little slow.
Not even. Then, they were great. They're gorgeous.
But they are, because when you get to the third one, you realize the pace changes in the third episode.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the series feels. I'm just being perfectly honest. And then the rest of the series feels like that from the third episode on. So the first two almost could have been one episode and they stretched it out a little bit. And then the third one is where it, because the end of the second one is where we sort of have our cliffhanger. And then from three on, it's zoom, zoom, zoom.
And then I would just say, go through the IMDb.
Is that fair, Gail?
So fair. This is if you're on the inside, Rana.
I'm on the inside of everything.
What's better? Binge. This is my advice to you, listeners. Binge Perry Mason this break. Why not?
Terrific.
It's gorgeous.
And watch your Oksana Baiul figure skating videos, which we also going to be doing
Oksana
in Baiul
figure skating videos.
Given.
All right, Gail, we're gonna let you go, Gail, and then we're going to do our cliffhanger without you. But thank you so much for joining us.
Yes.
Thank you for having
it's
me.
It's really been a treat.
And all the way from London. And will you please keep us posted on everything you're doing? Because Brian wasn't kidding. It's very rare that you have a career where you get to do all of these prestige
high profile projects. Yeah.
And you're so good in each and every one of them. It's such a pleasure to watch you do what you do. So please, please just keep doing it as long as you possibly even have an inkling.
Also, it's so nice to talk to an actor, because a lot of times I'm an actor and a comedian, and I write when I need to write, like da 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 da. And this is just this is a trained actor.
I thought it would be more boring. It's just like all I do is acting.
No, but you're brilliant at it. That's the difference.
We're so tired of multi-hyphenates around here.
Yeah.
True. I'm just a parenthesis.
Right.
That's right. Well,
so am I technically.
And I'm a triple parenthesis, which means Jewish if you put three parentheses on the outside of someone's name. A couple of years ago, that was the dog whistle on Twitter. They would write Rana Glickman with three parentheses around it. And that's how all the white supremacists
were telling
each other she's Jewish. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That
a big
is
deal.
Horrifying.
Right around Charlottesville and that. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was
truly, truly sinister. Gail, go have a shandy on us, okay?
Yes. Deal.
But
maybe in Scotland it's Sprite and beer, but it's really
Sprite
lemonade
shandy.
And beer. Yeah, Sprite
it's really
shandy.
Lemonade.
All right, dear. Oh.
Yeah.
Was she a living doll?
She really was. I mean, she's just like, I never get over when people just have that actor thing. Like she channels people.
She's an empath.
Yeah.
But also such an open, lovely person. I mean, what I felt like she'll work for the rest of her life because who wouldn't want to be around her?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And by the way, I was looking at some pictures of her, Rana. She's like been full platinum hair many times.
Oh, yeah. She's a total chameleon. She can transform. And in Perry Mason, she has that old fashioned face. But
yes,
she can
she can do that.
Like in Glow, she can look totally cutting edge punk, forward. She's a total canvas.
That's just who she is.
Yeah. What a love. And I loved her tree. Gave me such wonderful
it
London.
It really was warm.
Made me miss London terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we have to read our cliffhanger. So we're sending, what did we decide we're sending to?
We're sending slippers, I believe, or house slippers
Yeah, we're going to have to find out what size her shoe is. We'll leave that to Tony Mana to email with her and find out what size shoe she has so we can send her some slippers.
Let's hope he doesn't have any kind of foot issue.
Fetish.
Yes, exactly.
Speaking of, wouldn't that be funny if Tony's thing was feet? That was his... We have, I forgot to bring this up at the beginning. Remember, I was a little bit vermished because I had been on Bitch Sesh last night, which was, such a big deal for me.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, that is like, it's...
Oh, they get a million, I don't know how many people they had there, but it was packed to the rafters, the online
rafters. And
it's like
if you are not familiar with that world, it's like being a foreign exchange student or something. Like you go in if you don't know what's happening and you're like, wait, these people talk their own language. It's like a cult.
They're speaking another language. It's like going to a Pentecostal church.
It's
and
brilliant.
They're speaking in tongues. But let me tell you something I forgot to tell you. They started with an RIP Jiggy video at the beginning because Lisa Vanderpump's dog passed away.
Yeah, about time.
It was very funny.
Yeah.
Two things we forgot to bring up at the beginning of this. I don't know how I could forget to bring this up because it is the most electric thing to touch our Instagram this holiday season, and that is saying a lot.
Oh,
and
my
that
God.
Is the cookies.
I cannot believe we actually didn't mention.
It's been up for about a minute. We already have about 200 comments.
I don't doubt it. I mean, Rana, we could not have been, if two out of the two of us, no, three, excuse me, we had guests, four. If four out of the, we had Sujin and Kulab. Yeah. If four out of the four of us were like, oh my God, I'm begging you to see these cookies. There's no doubt all of our listeners felt the same way.
Not only did he claims he sent me the cookies. He said he didn't want to send them because he said that they're not going to make it through the mail. And obviously he's very focused on presentation. And I said, Right. Send all broken 3-day-old cookies too.
Yeah.
Care of the Carriage House, Marblehead, Massachusetts. Care of Santa, Marblehead, Massachusetts, 01945. But he gave us the list of the cookies. And I don't think we guessed one of these cookies.
No.
We guessed some of the ingredients.
We guessed some that were adjacent.
Correct.
But not dead on.
Are you going to read this list?
Do you want me to?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
let's do it. I will say this, Rana. I'm going to be honest. Can I be honest?
Please. I wish you would be for the first time.
I've
been waiting a year for you to be honest with me.
My first impression was, oh, they're kind of just all beige. Like they're kind of just all.
Well, okay.
Cookie color. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I just pictured them as being. Yeah. So spectacular, except that they are because they're understated and they're beautiful.
Yes. Instead of being shades of vanilla, this is a shades of beige situation.
Shades of 50 shades of beige.
Yeah.
So, okay. There's a toasted sesame chocolate chip cookie.
I will say I did have the same. I thought for sure there was going to be a peppermint bark of some kind or
me too.
A medley. I thought it was going to be more of a medley.
More of a color. Yeah.
And instead it's a family.
But when I tell you these cookies are also gorgeous and it feels like you would find them at like a delicious farmer's market. There's just something rustic and beautiful about them.
I wrote back to him. I said, and he's not on Instagram, by the way, so he's going to have to just lurk to see these comments. But I wrote back to him and I said, the only thing I can think of is that somebody thinks you just picked these up at a bakery and dropped them on the doorstep. And that's why they don't say thank you.
They do have that quality. Like they're just homemade enough, but also they look homemade in a way that you're like, well, I could never do that.
They're so professional and there's so many kinds of them. All I can think is that somebody says, oh, he stopped at the bakery. That was nice of him.
I have to say, Rana, this seems like a batch of cookies you would get. I mean, when you think of that macaroon just touched with chocolate.
Just took
gorgeous.
Dip to toe it. I mean, come on.
Then cut sort of in like a triangle cone.
Yes, almost like an iceberg that drifted through some dark chocolate.
So stunning, so understated. They had the oatmeal cookie with dried cherries, pistachios, and white chocolate chips, which I gotta say, I feel like people don't put cherries in cookies enough, and he did.
I agree.
And I'm thankful for that. A pecan sandy. Do you say pecan or
I
pecan?
I say pecan, yeah.
Pecan. Yeah. A pecan sandy. This one's all Ina G, he says. I'm just the vessel through which her recipe passes. Listen, though, you pulled it off. A peanut butter oat cookie with flake salt.
I love that.
Peanut butter. See, Kulup did guess
a peanut butter cookie of something. Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
And then a speculoos, I don't know what that is.
Speculoos, which is one of my favorite flavors. It's cookie butter. It's Biscoff cookie flavor.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's the national flavor of Belgium and the Netherlands.
Got it.
Yeah, it's like a spice cookie, yeah.
A speculoos spiced shortbread dipped in white chocolate. Are you kidding me?
And that happens to look like a beautiful pine cone, by the way.
I was about to say, it looks like a pine cone. At first, I thought it was a pineapple, but you're right. It's a pine cone.
I have to encourage people to go to our Instagram.
Not to mention the boxes. No. That is RG all over it.
Gets his own stickers made, pardon me. Absolutely stunning. And there is not a comment on here where people aren't saying you should drop anyone that doesn't thank you for these cookies.
Completely.
Yeah.
And by the way, they should know he makes them because he does his sticker right on the box.
No kidding.
Rana?
No kidding. Yeah.
Did he happen to send you like a selfie or a little note to pass on to me or anything like that?
He didn't, but he's probably listening. So if he wants to send you a body pat instead of you sending him one, that's between you and him.
Well, I already begged for cookies, and the response was, I sent some to Rana.
No, so the cookies are coming, and of course, we're going to try them in the carriage house together, you and I. I'm
so excited.
Cody Rigsby.
This guy is special. He's something special.
Cody Rigsby, who we know takes beautiful care of himself.
Yeah.
Even he commented on the cookies. He almost had a heart attack at how great these cookies looked out.
Really?
The other thing he commented on.
Oh, I can't wait to go through the comments. Yes,
I
please.
I hate to tell you. Is the scoop. The coffee scoop. Because I sent
that Cody
him,
commented on?
He did. Got because it. I sent Cody one of our small gift boxes because...
And he has opened it already, Rana?
He's opened it. Cody spends all year taking care of everybody else.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to send Cody a little extra something that said, look, we know you're having your coffee in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Brian and I are thinking of you.
Well.
Rana. Yeah, maybe in different ways, but you know.
Yeah. No, I love Cody. But Rana.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did mention in the last episode with Kulop and Su Jin.
I paid for it, Brian.
No, I know. But aren't they going to start paying us once it's opened?
No, we have to get back to this episode.
We have to,
it's
you know
almost
what we,
over. Can't you know it be over?
It can be over, but this is all I'm going to say. Our next conversation needs to be about fine print and what we're going to write in there.
Okay. We'll have a fine print conversation after the holidays. I want you to spend the whole holidays stewing about, I don't want you to take any of this time to recharge. I want you to spend it stewing about the conversation we're going to have on day one where things are going to change around here.
I've got my list ready, Rana. It's basically, it's basically a manifesto. So
I can't wait. I love the idea.
I'm going to perform it for you more
you
than I am
reading. You should cancel your whole holidays. I want you in a dressing gown, bird on your shoulder, silk dressing gown, only tied at the waist, bird on your shoulder, writing by a candle with a quill, a breeze coming through the window, and I want a list of complaints.
I think the bird, this time, Ron, I think the bird is right. The bird has been squawking all this time about fine print and the ways we can make money and everything else. That's right.
Settle your feathers.
Well, I settled, but
settle
now they're ruffled. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, it must feel so good to be a bird and shake your feathers out.
I know.
Just think about that. If you could just get all your feathers to settle, that would be good.
Should we read this cliffhanger, Rana?
Let's read a cliffhanger, dear.
Okay. Here we go.
Can't wait.
Dear Rana and Brian, 2 days ago, I arrived in my hometown of Cleveland for 2 weeks of Christmas with my mom.
Okay.
I'm her only child, and I'm trying to be the best gay son I can be. Usually, mom comes to visit me in Los Angeles.
Oh.
Anyway, last night she had choir practice, so I used the opportunity to go to a gay club that never existed while I was growing up in the late 90s.
Okay.
I met the most wonderful, handsome older man, and
this episode needs to be called The Blood Boiler.
No kidding. It's COVID, everybody.
I'm already
Don't be going to clubs.
I'm boiling again.
I know.
Yeah, but we're not allowed to really weigh in because we weigh in on Patreon. So we have
to
bite our tongues. And if people want to know how we really feel about this, they can hear it on Patreon.
About visiting your older mother and then going to a gay club in the middle of the night. Any club.
No,
it doesn't even have to be
course.
Gay. Any gathering.
She couldn't travel because of COVID. So you very generously chose to bring COVID to her doorstep the minute you arrived in Cleveland.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because I doubt that clubs are distanced. And
nice
all
of
indoors.
You to give her a local strand, too, because the hospital will know how to handle that better.
But, Rana, we're not going to weigh in here.
We are not weighing. That's not our job, Brian. We're just vessels through which these questions pass.
You're right.
Yeah.
I met the most wonderful, handsome older man, and we hit it off immediately, talking and flirting for hours.
Lovely.
It was the kind of thing you can see happening in a Christmas movie, as we had such a connection in that darkened bar under twinkling lights.
Like Shannon Elizabeth, Alicia Cuthbert, and January Jones in Love Actually in the bar in Minnesota.
That's right.
Yeah. That's what I'm picturing.
Sure. Honestly, I am too now. As we had such a connection in that darkened bar under twinkling lights and holiday decorations, 3 hours into the night, we pieced together a huge surprise I never could have imagined. This man knew my mom in the early 80s.
Hmm.
He donated sperm to her because she was turning 38 and wanted to be a mother.
Oh.
This guy is my biological father.
Okay.
It turns out we had more in common than we could ever imagine. DNA. Now I can see why I was attracted to him. He looked exactly like me in 20 years. I was in such a shock that I left the bar without taking or giving my number. I basically ran out. I'd been awake all night. At 4 a.m., I needed a distraction, and I reached for my phone, glad to see I had an unlistened to episode of Ask Rana. I'm still awake and thought I might write to you for the first time. I don't know what my question is. I'm just stunned into silence for once in my life. Where do I go from here? Please don't use my name. P.S. It goes without saying that I'm flushed with relief that I didn't completely sleep with this man before... Yeah, now. Okay.
I'm not...
I mean, we are ending this year, Rana.
Yeah, we are. And we're also... There's a few question marks here that I have about the authenticity of this letter. But when we read a letter, we answer a letter. So that's who we are.
Well, next... Then on the next Patreon coming this week, it'll be a Blue's Clues of an answer.
It's... Blue. Remember Blue?
Yeah.
Oh, and Steve, we've talked about this before.
You would have
been. Oh, you would have been a great Steve.
I really would have. I actually do believe it.
Yeah, but you would have hated the job after about golden handcuffs being Steve.
That's true.
Yeah, because you got to talk to a screen the whole time.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. Join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/AskRana. As we mentioned, we have a special Christmas surprise. And actually, I mentioned Cody, and it may be that Cody. He doesn't know this, but he makes a little appearance in
there
the Christmas
surprise.
There might
be a little appearance. That's
so that's
right.
A message just for Cody, letting that's him know right. That if he wants to see how he appears in the Christmas surprise, that's on Patreon.
And Cody, I am still waiting on the Peloton and the treadmill.
Oh.
Did you realize, Rana, how long it's been since we've... I assume it's the shipping with USPS. I'm not sure because everything's sort
of... Wow.
But he still hasn't sent me my equipment.
Huh. Yeah. He didn't send you either. Wow.
No.
Well,
not one, okay. Not either. Not even one. No,
not even one treadmill or one Peloton.
That's right.
In any event, so we will see you next week for classic cliffhangers.
Yes.
Only in 2020 edition, which is
these
a lot
are good
of fun.
Ones.
These
yes.
are great. These are truly only in 2020.
I mean, correct. Real,
we had so many outrageous questions this year.
Cindy Adams should be so lucky to hear these questions.
You're not kidding. Yeah. And then we will be back on the free feed with a fresh celebrity infused, absolute mind blowing door buster of an episode on the 12th of January.
Did he get the coffee?
He loved the coffee.
Oh, that's right. I couldn't remember.
Huge shades of vanilla fan. We didn't discuss the coffee with him, I don't believe.
Okay, but he got it.
Huge shades of vanilla fan.
And
that's just his sort of coffee.
He didn't send back any...
Cash? No.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But that was before your new rule had been instituted.
You know what? That's true.
Are you wearing a maroon skort today?
I'm wearing a maroon skort. Can you believe it? I got to tell you, I got these new shorts. They're called the lounge short from a place called Nice Laundry. They're the most comfortable skorts you could ever wear.
You said that about your last skort.
I like these better. I like these even better. Yeah.
Nice Laundry. What are the shorts called?
I think, I'll tell you right now. They're called, because I ordered 3 pairs.
Oh, you love to order multiples.
Because inside, they're like as soft as a box, like a gorgeous boxer, like a flannel boxer.
Oh.
So that's why they feel like you're wearing underwear, but then they're not. They're like, you can wear these to the gym or wherever. They're called the...
I don't like to wear a pant that's too soft to the gym, personally.
That's fine. That's
I
fair.
I wouldn't mind
this
wearing
this is
to
still
yoga.
The antimicrobial situation.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
It's just like a better one. It just
sure.
So I don't know what they're called. I think it's just a Nice Laundry lounge short.
Okay, take a look.
And
for the
I bought it. You
short.
Can get a 3-pack, so I got the 3-pack.
Of course you did, dear.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Have right. a fabulous holiday.
Yeah.
And because it's coming right up this Thursday
I
and Friday
that.
Rather.
Yeah.
Thursday, you know, December 24th and the 25th. And as
and we're
we
recording
said,
this on the last day of Hanukkah, I think.
Hanukkah ended yesterday.
I thought it ended the 18th.
No,
I'm
now
sorry,
they
Rana.
Now they know every now they know everything about our lives.
You're
Brian,
right.
And well, when we're conducting them. But I suppose I'd already given them a context clue with the bitch sesh.
That's true.
But have a wonderful holiday. Be safe. Be
yes.
careful. Just yes. remember, we're just a few months away. Celebrate Christmas in April if you have to. But
that's right.
Stay safe. And if your tummy's telling you, don't meet up with these people, don't meet up with these people. Okay?
Totally.
And as we said, there is a special surprise waiting on Patreon this Friday, Christmas. It comes out at patreon.com.
And if you received a gift, take a hint from our cookies episode and say thank you for it.
You know what? That's an excellent point. Thank the people that take the time to send you things.
Exactly.
Doesn't have to be a crazy handwritten, just a text saying,
a text.
I got it. I loved it.
Yeah.
Thank you for thinking of me.
Yeah.
Happy holidays.
Correct. And if you want to take a little picture of it, that doesn't hurt too.
That never hurts.
Yeah.
Okay, dear.
All right.
Kiss, kiss.
Kiss, kiss, Rana.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Watson and the co-host of Foreplay.
I'm your co-host, George Fowler, former firefighter, your couple's therapist who loves to talk about sex.
Woo, let's discuss everything about the best sexual techniques to building your emotional intimacy, which is really necessary for great sex.
We bring sound, concrete tools to reframe your relationship problems and learn how to fall in love again and feel desire.
Listen to Foreplay Radio on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.